Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. We are back, and we are back on our favourite location in Westminster on a roof. It's slightly darker now because we've just had the results of the crunch Brexit vote, in which we saw a cross-party group of MPs try to take control of the order paper, and they have succeeded. The government lost the vote by 27 votes. James, what was the mood like in the Commons?
Boris Johnson responded to this defeat, which I think was slightly worse than expected. I mean, everyone has thought the government was going to lose today. The margin was not dramatically, but was definitely slightly worse than expected, by saying, right, if MPs are going to vote for this extension tomorrow, there can only be one way to resolve this, a general election. Jeremy Corbyn then got up and responded by saying, yeah, general election, but not until this extension legislation has passed tomorrow. At which point the Tory benches erupted in fury, because they can see what's going on, which is there is essentially a desire to get this extension legislation passed by the opposition parties, because they think it will hurt the Tories with the kind of voters who are deciding between the Tory party and the Brexit party. And there is also a sizable element of hypocrisy here, which is, you know, Jeremy Corbyn has been calling for an election for basically since the 2017 general election, when Labour got so denied the Tories their majority. And so it seems that they think it's a bit rum of him to now turn around and say, oh, now I don't want one. And there's also a particular potency, because in the last week or so, since Boris Johnson chose to prorogue Parliament, schedule a Queen's speech for October the 14th, you have had opposition MPs accusing Boris Johnson of trying to stage something close. I'm not sure any opposition MPs views, but the language has been that it is a threat to democracy, but this is some kind of constitutional coup. Boris Johnson is now saying that the answer to this standoff, the answer to the fact that the Parliament does not have confidence in the executive to deal with the biggest issue of the day, which is Brexit, is to have a general election to resolve matters. And they're now suddenly saying, no, actually, we don't want a general election. I think the question now is, how does this get resolved? Because the size of this Tory rebellion suggests that Boris Johnson would struggle to win even a simple majority vote for a general election. So where are we going? We appear to be slightly stuck.
Isabel, if you look at the figures today in terms of that loss, ahead of this vote, Boris Johnson was very keen to press the idea that Tory MPs needed to get behind him, partly because he would deselect them otherwise, but also because he saw it as the best way to getting a Brexit deal. There were some rebels who had actually hoped to do these moves in a few weeks' time, but the reason they brought this forward was because Boris Johnson decided to prorogue Parliament from next week, or appoint next week. Do you think that Team Johnson's tactics have backfired tonight?
There certainly seems to be a bit of a blame game starting up in Tory circles, that this prorogation, which seemed like a wizard wheeze last week, has actually backed Tory MPs, or soon to be ex-Tory MPs, into a corner, to the point at which they felt they sort of had to lash out, and the government has been defeated with worse numbers than it expected. But I think, as we discussed on our previous podcast, one of the things that this does allow, if we are heading for a general election, even though we're in this very surreal situation where Boris Johnson says, I do not want an election, but I'm going to table a motion for an election. And Jeremy Corbyn says, I want an election, but I'm going to vote against an election. Actually, the Conservative Party seems to be aiming to come out of that general election with a majority that is not hollow in the way it has been in previous elections, where you have a working majority of whatever, but actually, you know, 12, 15 of those MPs are going to vote against you on Brexit. So Boris Johnson is taking the party into a position that it can hold on Brexit, whatever shape it comes out of this election in. And that's a big question, because if it comes out having lost the election, that doesn't really matter.
James, some of the rebels ahead of this vote said that they felt as though Number 10 didn't actually want them to climb down the hill, that in a way they were daring them, they wanted them out. What do you think the mood in 10 Downing Street will be tonight after that result?
I think the view in Downing Street is that Jeremy Corbyn can't hold to this position of opposing an election. They think it makes him look slightly absurd, and they think that pressure will lead to Labour shifting their position. Now, I wouldn't be so sure of that. I think Labour can see a big tactical advantage in forcing this through, forcing this extension legislation through. But I think what you can see is the battle lines for this election sharpening. And you could see that in Boris Johnson's statement. It is setting up to be even more of a Boris Johnson trying to frame this election as the people versus Parliament than it was before. Because you've already had those close to Boris Johnson today talking about, you know, the arrogance of MPs, that they want to do something which Boris Johnson's team claim essentially defies the referendum result because it opens up the possibility of a kind of endless, never-ending extension. And at the same time, they don't want to let the public have a vote. And I think you listen to Boris Johnson there, you saw what the Tory attempted message in the general election campaign is going to be. If you elect me, I will go to Brussels on that summit on that Thursday after the election. So 2 days after the election, because we now expect Boris Johnson now wants the election on a Tuesday so as not to clash with a Jewish holiday on the Monday. And I will get a deal and Brexit will be done. That is what they are trying to do. They are trying to say, vote for us, and we'll get Brexit done. And it will be done in both senses of the word, they're trying to say. They're trying to suggest that not only will you get Brexit if you voted for Brexit, but if you didn't vote for Brexit, British politics will be able to move on. We'll be able to talk, Boris Johnson will be able to talk, and politicians in general will be able to talk about the other issues that concern people. Now, obviously, people who disagree with Boris Johnson will say, well, you're not leaving enough time to get a deal. And if you end up leaving with no deal, or even if you end up leaving with a deal, that's not the end of the Brexit question. The question of the UK's relationship with the EU will dominate politics for the next decade. But you can see how Boris Johnson is trying to shape the electoral argument, which is, you know, vote for me and Brexit is done in 16 days time and we can go back to all the other political issues that you care about. And by the way, have I told you I'm going to give more money to the NHS, clamp down on violent crime, more resources for education? That is how he is trying to frame this election campaign argument. And I think there is an interesting question now about what traction that has, because I think if you look back at 2017, one of the things that people who worked on that campaign say is that they could tell very quickly from the start of a campaign whether things were working or not, that lots of those Labour voters who appeared to be coming over to the Tories kind of snapped back to their default tribal position once the election is called. So I think watch to see what happens and watch to see whether Labour come under pressure for their position of saying no, we don't want an election.
One thing I thought was really interesting was that Boris Johnson pitched up in the tea room this afternoon and was apparently being incredibly charming and entertaining with Tory MPs. And I think that's, I don't think it was with any of the potential rebels, funnily enough, but I think that was an attempt by him to reassure the rest of the party who are feeling quite shaken, I think, by the departure which is going to be happening in the next few hours of some of their colleagues who they've, you know, worked with in government for years in some cases. And he does need to think about party unity. If he's got this plan to get rid one way or the other of people who are not going to back his Brexit position, he still needs to make sure that the rest of his party isn't turning against him thinking that he's a bully.
There is an interesting point here, which is, you know, if he had said, if you want to stand as a Conservative candidate, you must sign up to leave on October 31st, come what may, I think people would have felt better about it than taking the whip away. It's a kind of weird logical thing, because I think one of the things is, you know, lots of people, as Isabel was just saying, you know, have served in government departments with these people, are personal friends with these people. The act of taking the whip away from them does feel brutal. Mm. You can see why they have done it,
yep.
But equally, you can see how, and you also can see the argument that what would you do if you say everyone must sign up to leave on October the 31st, come what may, and the likes of Philip Hammond say, well, I'm not signing up to that, but I'm still standing as a Conservative. What do you do at that point? You know, what is your disciplinary recourse? But I do think there is a challenge, because it is worth remembering that there are lots of Tory MPs who are not in that dissimilar a place from those who actually chose to rebel tonight. You know, some of them we know because they've explicitly said they wanted to give, that they were going to stick by their previous position of giving the Prime Minister until the end of September to get on with it. I mean, Paul Masterson, MP for a Scottish seat, fits into that description. But there are others who are kind of tempted there. So it is a question which is how, you know, they've got to find some way of pulling the party back together. And I thought it was striking how much emphasis he placed in his statement on getting a deal. This is, you know, this is after, you know, after he's lost the vote, he's still saying, I'm going to go and get a deal. And I think that is designed at reassuring those MPs in his own party as much as anything else.
Now, Isabel, looking ahead to tomorrow and the drama that we expect, perhaps to maybe not even arrival but outdo today's, what can we expect? Because MPs have now taken control of the order paper. There's some talk that Sajid Javid's spending review might be shuffled to a written ministerial state.
Yeah, so we've got the vote tomorrow on the legislation itself, which is forcing Boris Johnson to seek an extension to the Brexit deadline, and that will be what dominates the day. And then after that, we obviously expect that to pass, potentially actually with a higher majority than tonight. We'll then get the votes on a general election. And at the moment, Jeremy Corbyn's current position in the past half an hour, which may change given how vague and changeable that Labour have been on this, is that Labour will not support an election at this stage. And so it could be that Boris Johnson tries two votes to get an election while saying he doesn't want an election. If you understand this, you're not paying attention.
If you understand it, do get in touch. Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, James. And we'll be back tomorrow with all the latest twists and turns. So do join us then.